Hear now the Word of God from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 39. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment, and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. This is the Word of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever. May He add His blessing to the preaching of it this morning. This passage contains a serious warning about apostasy. So let me remind you what apostasy is. There's another warning about apostasy back in Hebrews chapter 6. When we use the term apostasy, we do not mean that a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is capable of losing his or her salvation. Apostasy is a scriptural term. The word apostasy means to fall away from. It means to depart from the faith. It means to repudiate faith in Jesus Christ and walk away from Him and depart from Him. It refers to someone who has made what looks like a credible outward profession of faith in Christ, and yet at some point down the line has turned his back on Christ. This is a person who has outwardly professed Christ. His profession looks very similar, if not identical, to the profession of other true believers in the congregation. And yet at some point he turns his back on Christ and departs from faith in Christ. And so this warning reminds us that there is such a thing as false profession. There is such a thing as claiming to be a believer and yet not being a true believer. It is possible for someone to get very, very close to the things of God and never experience real, genuine salvation. That is what Hebrews chapter 6 means when the Bible says those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, it is possible to sit under the pure preaching of God's Word for many years and never come to know the Savior of sinners. Never give your life to the one and only Savior of sinners. I have often wondered, If this is not what is wrong with the evangelical church in America today, it is full of professing Christians who are really not genuine Christians at all. They just go to church like a social club. But let me say it one more time. Apostasy does not mean that a true believer can fall away from God. Or maybe I should say permanently fall away from God. A true believer can temporarily fall away into a condition that is what you would call a backslidden condition, but he cannot continue happily in that condition. Apostasy means that it is possible that a person can make a false profession of faith, and that false profession can be found out to be a false profession by that person's repudiation or apostasy from Christ. A classic example of what I'm talking about is John's description of those who were part of the congregation and yet departed. In 1 John 2:19, he says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us." This is what the author of Hebrews was concerned about. He was concerned that the immaturity that he noticed in this congregation was a sign of false profession. He was concerned that at least some of these people were not true Christians at all. If they were indeed not true Christians, then they needed to move on to a full embracement of Christ before God turned the lights out for them. So there are several warnings and appeals in this book of Hebrews, and we are looking at one of them in this text. So this is a warning against apostasy. In verses 26 through 31, there's something called willful sinning or deliberate sinning. The term apostasy is not used in this passage, but willful sinning or deliberate sinning is the same thing as apostasy. When he warns against willful sinning, he is warning against apostasy. Willful sinning is described in verse 29 as trampling the Son of God underfoot, counting the blood of the covenant a common thing, and insulting the Spirit of grace. Willful sinning is pretty much the same thing as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and that is apostasy. So, we have this warning against apostasy. And I want to ask the question, why warn the church against apostasy? If a genuine believer cannot commit apostasy, then why warn the church against apostasy? Well, first of all, apostasy is a real danger in the church. The visible church is a body of professing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always the possibility in every local church that some professing Christians are not genuine Christians. The author of Hebrews knew this. He was quite sure that the great majority of his readers were not apostates. He said that back in chapter 6, and he says that again here in verse 39, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." But nevertheless, in any church and in an audience to such as this epistle to the Hebrews is addressed, it's always necessary to remind us that apostasy is the departure from the faith by those who have been professing faith, who ordinarily have been meeting with the saints, and whose true spiritual condition is not really known by the others. We may surmise the spiritual condition of our friends who meet with us regularly in church, but the ultimate condition Of their souls we do not know, and they do not know ours either. Just think about Judas among the disciples of Jesus. None of the others suspected that he was an apostate, but he was. Jesus said early on, "I have called the 12 of you, and one of you is a devil." We may have some real assurance concerning some whose faithfulness is so manifest in their own lives and in their service of the saints and in the fruit of the Spirit displayed in their lives. But there are others who attend church, perhaps, that we do not have as much assurance about. But ultimately, only God knows for certain who are the genuine and who are the spurious believers. There is also a possibility that those who are spurious believers now, when they hear this message, may in fact become genuine believers. This message might be the thing that provokes them to become genuine believers in Christ. So the fact that there may be professing believers in the church who have not fully embraced Jesus Christ for real means that there is a danger in the church of apostasy. So the whole church is warned. And it is the responsibility of each person to evaluate his own relationship to Jesus Christ and to ask the question, am I a true Christian or not? If not, then while there is still opportunity, come to Christ in faith. Secondly, apostasy has eternal consequences. Now this is from verse 26 to 31. Two things are the consequence of apostasy. Number one, there remaineth no sacrifice. Verse 26. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That's the beginning. If we sin willfully. Now watch it. After we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no other sacrifice for sins. Now the only way a man can ever get into heaven is if he gets his sins removed. The only way your sins can ever be removed is by sacrifice. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So there must be a sacrifice for sin. The only sacrifice, the only adequate sacrifice for sin is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. If you reject that sacrifice, there is no sacrifice for sin. If you turn your back on Jesus Christ, you shall die, as Jesus said, in your sins. And where I go, you will never come. That's what He said. There remaineth no more sacrifice. Some of these Jewish people to whom he was writing were turning around and they were heading back toward Judaism. Back toward the old sacrificial system. And what he is saying to them is, don't go back. Don't go back to those sacrifices. They're obsolete. Those sacrifices were symbols and shadows of the true sacrifice, and He has now come. They're pointless anymore. Don't go back to the sacrifices of Judaism. They're no good anymore. They served their purpose, and now they are over and done with. Christ has come. He has fulfilled all of the sacrifices. The old covenant has been superseded by a new and better covenant. The veil in the temple was torn down. The sacrificial system is done. And he says, if you're going to turn around and go back to that system, it's no good. It's over with. You're going through the motions. If a man turns his back on Jesus Christ, there's no sacrifice for sins. If his sins aren't sacrificed for, he'll never enter into God's presence. For God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, and He cannot look on evil. Your sins have to be atoned for. And there is only one way to get them atoned for, and that is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There remaineth no more sacrifice. What a dreadful thing. You walk away from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that's the end. You're absolutely outside of grace. You have put yourself on the outside of grace. The author of Hebrews is saying here that if a person willfully and knowingly rejects the one real sacrifice for sins, then of course there is no other sacrifice for sin that that person can turn to. If you have rejected the only sacrifice that there is for sin, where then do you go in order to get forgiveness for sin? And the author of Hebrews' point is there is nowhere you can go. So if you have rejected the one sacrifice for sin, there's no hope for you. You have placed yourself beyond hope. He is saying very straightforwardly to the congregation that rejecting the truth of Christ has eternal consequences. That is his point. So the first consequence of apostasy is there remaineth no more sacrifice. The second thing is a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. He says that in verse 27. And then in verses 28 through 31, he quotes the Old Testament to support his point. He says in verse 28, "Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses." How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? He is saying that it was bad for Jews, for the Jews under the old covenant, to set aside the law of Moses. But to spurn the Son of God, to profane the blood of the new covenant, and to outrage the Spirit of grace is the worst thing that you could possibly do. And if you do it, then you will face the fierce fury and the vengeance of God. Thirdly, God uses warnings to produce endurance. This comes from verses 32 through 39. "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but we are of those who believe to the saving of the soul." We see in verses 32 through 39 that the author of Hebrews has very warm hopes for the perseverance in faith of everyone in this congregation. He thinks they are going to persevere to the end and that they are going to stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is convinced that they really are true believers. But he is warning them because he loves them and because it is so serious that they not reject their profession in Jesus Christ. He calls on them in verses 32 to 34 to remember, to reflect upon some of the deeds that they did not long after they made their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Those deeds were evidence of genuine conversion. They lived out their faith. And so he teaches us in verses 32 through 34 that examining our graces is an impetus to our persevering in the faith. He says you didn't fall away from Christ when the heat was turned on. You stayed faithful to Him then. Reflect on that and persevere now. This passage makes it clear that the author of Hebrews intends this whole section of his book to be an encouragement and a warning to believers, not a condemnation against people who have already fallen away. What he is trying to do is build up our wavering faith. The author of Hebrews here is asking us to go back and reflect upon ourselves and recognize that the only hope we have is in Jesus Christ. He is saying, persevere. Remain steadfast. Keep trusting in Jesus Christ. This section closes with a final word, which is very optimistic. An optimistic exhortation and an exhortation for us to endure. In fact, this section from verse 32 to 39 is the transition to Hebrews chapter 11. The main point is that we are to endure in the faith, and that is what Hebrews chapter 11 is going to be about. It is an illustration of people in the Old Testament who endured in their faith. This whole passage is an exhortation to us not to fall away from clinging to Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews' word for us here is endure. You have endured in the past, and God has been faithful. Endure in the faith, because the one who came is coming again. And it is imperative that we trust despite all evidence to the contrary. It is faith which grows us up as Christians. And so, when you face those circumstances where you can't figure out what God is doing, trust Him anyway. Just like Abraham, who hoped against hope that God would be faithful to His promise, and God was faithful to His promise. This passage is a call for us to persevere. May God help us to do that. May God help us to persevere to the end in faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.